Have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be in Matthew 24 and 25 today as we finish up this series we've been in called What's Your Story? We're walking through Matthew's gospel and taking a look at the parables of Jesus. When you came in, probably in your seat, you should have a card that looks just like this. This is not for you to remember when Easter is. This is for you to invite a friend just to be with you. So take this card with you. On your way out today, make sure you pick up a yard sign, two or three, four or five, six or seven, how many you need. We want to do all we can to encourage people to come. If you're a social media person, there's a couple of, I don't know what we call them, social media footprints. Take your picture and invite people to join you Easter Sunday. And we're excited about that. We live in a world of big reveals, don't we? You watch these shows, every reality show has a big reveal, right? Remember Fixer Upper, you know? Are you ready to see your fixer-upper and they, you know, reveal what it looks like? And I don't know about you, I don't really care about the front half of the show. I want to see what it looks like before and after. That's all I care about. What Not to Wear, remember that show? I don't know if it's still on. It's fantastic. I heard about a new show called, is it Blind Date? Is that the show? There's a wall separating a couple and they just get to know each other by their personality only. How about that? Guys, then they, I don't know, I don't even have it works. I'm not seeing it. Maybe I shouldn't. We'll move on. What Not to Wear, I love, don't you? Because who better to tell you that you dress awful than your kids? They set you up on this show, and then you go, and they make you look like something that you're not, and then the family goes, oh my goodness, you look fantastic. And then you go back to wearing your whatever you wear. So there you go. How about movies? There's some big reveals in some movies, aren't there?
Luke.
What? I Am Your Father, right? That's a pretty big reveal. I just watched all the Star Wars movies that I could watch on Disney Plus a few weeks ago. All but the last one, whatever that one is. What's the new one? Come on, people. What is it? Yeah, whatever it was. The Rise of Skywalker, that's right. That's good. I won't ruin it, but there's another big reveal that I was hurt my heart. Some of you, we have baby reveals, right? Abby was born at a day and time, and we're just lucky to have a baby. You know? Oh, man, it's just a world of reveals. And in Matthew 24, we're going to look at the end of that chapter and end of chapter 25, because it's in this passage that Jesus really talks about the big reveal. That one day, just like we sung about, that the trumpet's going to shout for his calling and the skies are going to open. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But this is the ultimate big reveal. And there's all sorts of thoughts about it. There's all sorts of confusion about it. There's all sorts of passages about it. 1 Thessalonians says this about it, a passage that you know very well that we just sung about, chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so, through Jesus, God will bring him, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And we say, woohoo! And that leads to a whole host of questions, right? And we suddenly, whoever you are, we get theological. Are we going to be here when Jesus comes? Is he going to rapture us before he comes? Are we pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, a-trib? What are we? And there have been a lot of people that have made a lot of money off the second coming of Christ. Hello? And there are a lot of people that have been confused by extra-biblical writing when it comes to the second coming of Christ. And in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about this very thing. Now listen, we're not going to be exhaustive in our exposition of this particular passage. We're going to look at that in a different series in Matthew later on in the year. But I do want to begin in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 36. I want to invite you to honor of God's word, if you please stand. Let's read the tail end of Matthew 24. Jesus says this, "But concerning that day," what day? The day that he's coming. "An hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house, let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not know, you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know." And listen, this is not where you want to be in verse 51. Turn to your neighbor and go, "This is no, don't do this." "And will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What a great ending to chapter 24. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the reminder of Jesus that one day he's coming. And Father, I pray today that as we think about that big reveal when Jesus makes himself known, Father, I pray that all of us, Father, would just even pause in this moment to consider the reality that one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming. And Father, we know based upon your word, he's not coming as a meek and mild baby into a carpenter's home. But Father, he's coming as the conquering King. And Father, we pray today that you would guide us in your word. We thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. I mentioned there's a lot of confusion when it comes to this idea of end times. When exactly is Jesus going to come? And once again, there are a lot of guys that's really all they talk about. And so we're going to deal with it in this particular text because that's where we come to. And I want to share with you, if I could, from the end of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, I think four ways that if you and I want to be ready for the big reveal of Jesus, these are the four things that we find in this particular text that we must do. If we don't do anything else, we have to do these four things if we're going to be ready when Jesus comes, whenever that is. The first thing that I would say is be careful. Just be careful. Look in verse 36. "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only." Jesus says that no one knows. In the original language, this is a perfect tense verb. Just turn to your neighbor and go, "Perfect tense." You say, "What in the world does that mean?" It means war. That's what it means. War. W-A-R. A perfect tense verb means it's something that happened in the past with abiding results, war, that carry into the future. What Jesus is saying here is no one has ever known. And because of that, the abiding result is no one knows when the Son of Man will come. And the point of the text is not who knows and who doesn't. It's not withholding information. It's not any of those things. The key component of the verse is the King only. That God knows. And he knows when it's going to happen. And he knows all the details of it. Did you know that in our present time, there have been at least 52 predictions that have been noted about when Jesus is going to come? 52. Did you know that? You know some of them. In 1999, Jerry Falwell, remember Jerry Falwell? Former pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church, Liberty University. 1999, Jerry Falwell said that Jesus is going to come back within 10 years. Sir Isaac Newton, remember him? He predicted that Jesus was going to return in the year 2000. Now, he's a smart guy. But guess what? Some of you won't know this name, but Jack Van Imp, he was a very famous televangelist back in the day. He predicted that Jesus was going to come in 2012. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, good old Joe, he said Jesus was going to come back in 1891. Not only is he wrong about a lot of things, but he's really wrong about that. Turn to your neighbor and go, this is, you better be ready. Be careful. Ready? Just turn to tell everybody to be ready. Gene Dixon, who's an American psychic, evidently very well known. I don't know any psychics, but I'm just saying. She says it's going to be in the year 2020. She's psychic. She knows. Congratulations. 2020, it's your, you made it. This is it. Here's what Jesus says. Be careful. Be careful about making predictions, whether publicly or privately or personally, when Jesus is going to come. Why? Because no one knows. No one has ever known. And those results continue not only today but in the future, that only the Father knows. So the first thing, if you're going to be ready, just be careful. A.W. Tozer said this, when he returns is not as important as the fact that we are ready for him when he does return. Be careful. Be careful that our focus is upon Jesus Christ and not upon trying to read the signs about when he's going to come. Just be careful. The second thing that we discover in this text is, I would say, be mindful. Be mindful. Look what he says in verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus talks about the days of Noah also in Luke 17. Same basic concept, but he does mention it there. And then it speaks of the days of Noah. What do we know about the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, we read about it. People were going about their daily lives. Noah was building a boat out of gopher wood. Remember that? And it wasn't like a bass boat. It was a monstrosity of a boat. It wasn't like people coming by, you know, cruising their camels and said, huh, Noah, what you doing? Building a boat. Why? Because the Lord said he's going to make it rain. Oh. And they go on eating and drinking and celebrating marriage and doing all the things that all of us do. These are the days of Noah. And it says in Genesis chapter 6, the reason why God called Noah to build the boat is because the wickedness was increasing in the land. And it even says in verses 5 and 6 that it increased in such a level that the Lord regretted making mankind. And so he decided he's going to be done with it. But Noah. I wonder what the Lord thinks about our world today. And the encouragement for you and me is be mindful. Because in the days of Noah, there was plenty warning. There was plenty to think about when it came to the fact that one day God was going to bring his wrath. But no one cared. What I've discovered about the second coming is this. And some of us fall in one of these two categories, and maybe others, but there are at least two categories of people. The first is, we think, you know what, we've been reading about the second coming forever, and, you know, I know he's going to come one day, so I'm just going to live life the best I can. And when I stand before him one day, I'm going to go, listen, you didn't make it really clear, so I'm just going to do what I, you know, and I know he'll forgive me because he's a loving God, and we just live like those in the days of Noah. The other extreme is we try to create and develop all these schemes about how he's going to come. What does it mean the dead in Christ are going to rise first? Does that mean like a zombie land or what? Like, what are we doing? And we try to put all the pieces together and we read the code and all this kind of stuff. And listen, the reality is we just need to be mindful that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And be mindful of the fact that one day he's coming. No one knows. Only the Father. But be mindful. And then he shares two pictures, just two verses, verses 41 and 42, or verses 40 and 42, and it kind of messes with our minds about our return. Because when Jesus comes, let me just ask you, do you want to be left or taken? Yeah, we would all say taken, right? However, that's not what this passage says. I know, you're thinking, what? Listen, the days of Noah, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man. The two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. The context is what? Everybody ain't going. That's right. But the context is not the rapture. The context is the days of Noah when God swept the wickedness off of the earth. So in this context, do you want to be left or taken? No, you want to be left. No, Tim LaHaye says, I don't want to be left behind. That was a joke, people. It says that two will be in the field. Two will be at the grindstone. And in the days of Noah, the coming of the Son of Man is just like when the flood came and swept away all the wickedness. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. And when the Son of Man comes, his wrath is going to sweep away everything. Now listen, this is not the only text, but this is the context of where we are today. And what's he say? Be mindful. Just be mindful. Be mindful. You say, why? Because mindfulness means awareness. It also can mean attentiveness, that one day the Son's coming. So this past Thursday, I drove to Memphis, Tennessee. Spent a couple days with my mom and dad. I had an uncle that passed away, and so we went over to Far City, Arkansas yesterday for the funeral. But I had a couple days to spend with my mom and dad. So I told him, you know, earlier in the week, I said, hey, listen, he passed away on Tuesday. So I said, you know, I'm probably going to try to come in town if I can. And so beginning, as soon as I sent that text, phone calls, are you coming? Are you coming? Yeah, I'm coming. When are you going to be here? It's like, well, I'm going to get up Thursday morning. I'll drive that way. It's about 6.5 hours. I'll be there sometime mid-afternoon. Oh, okay. What do you want to eat? So, Mom, I don't care. Whatever you think. Well, no, everybody's going to come over Thursday night. Then we're going to have Friday night. I mean, we're going to be, like, we'll have everything ready. Like, I can't wait. Like, I can't wait for you to come. So I get there. My oldest son has come home. Are your parents like this? So I get there. I mean, everything is ready. I mean, basically, anything that I want to eat, okay, what do you want for breakfast? Bacon, eggs, biscuits with honey and butter? Yes, all that. Coffee, juice, water? Sure. Yesterday morning I get up. What would you like for breakfast? What do you have? Well, I can make this, I can make this. Yesterday morning I get up. What would you like? How about cinnamon rolls?
Yes. Anything that I wanted.
Mindfulness. Awareness. Attentiveness. I wonder what it would be like in our lives if we constantly focused on when the sun was coming. And we made every preparation possible in our hearts and lives. Just like a mama who's excited about her son coming. I'm 48. I've not lived in Memphis since 1997. But you know what they talk about? When you're going to come home. I'm like, no. Like, you don't even live in this house I grew up in. It's not home. But you know, as a mama, it's home. I wonder what it looked like in our lives if we said, Jesus, I want to be attentive to when you come. I want to be ready in my heart and life. Number three, be watchful. Be watchful. Look what he says in verse 42. He says in verse 42, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. It's an imperative tense, which means a command. He's saying, make sure you wake up! Sorry. It's time change Sunday. I had to make sure you're awake. How many of you pressed the snooze button this morning a couple times? Anybody? Yeah, I did too. So stay awake. Make sure you're prepared. Say, so why in the world do we have to make sure we're awake? Why in the world is it a command? Because in verse 43 it says, we're not sure what hour he's coming. We don't know what hour or night it's going to be. You say, well, what in the world? The original language says it like this, in what watch? We're aware of watches right now because we change times, right? But the reality is, there were four watches of the night in this particular point in time in the world. There would be a 9 p.m. watch, a midnight, a 3 a.m., and a 6 a.m. Those are the watches of the night. And so Jesus says, be awake. Because it's like someone who had a home, and if he knew when the burglar was going to come and break into the house, if he knew, he would have what watch of the night? You're going to come at 9? You're going to come at midnight? You're going to come at 3? You're going to come at 6? If I knew when he was coming, the master of the house would have been awake. It's like, hey, I'm ready for you. I know some of you carry, and so I know you're ready at all times. However, Jesus says what we already know is the reality. It doesn't work that way. A burglar comes when what? You least expect it. How many have Ring cameras? You got a Ring camera? Anybody? How many Ring cameras in the room? Just four? Okay, good. We have a Ring camera. I don't pay attention to the alerts because I get tired of them, right? Somebody comes to the door, I don't care. But what I've noticed about the Ring camera is mysterious fox located in near you. Like, are we worried about foxes breaking in now? I don't know. He says, if we knew when they were coming. Here's what's interesting. When we think about a robber, does a robber knock on the door and go, hey, I'm going to break in? No, not at all. But it's interesting how Jesus words it here. Look at that last phrase. It says in verse 44. He says, but the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief would come. He would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be. And then if you circle, just circle that word broken into. That same word is used in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Same Greek word. Because there were four friends and they had a paralytic buddy. Remember this? And they knew that the master, the healer, was in town. And they took their friend on a mat. They tried to get to the front door. They couldn't. You know the story. They go up the stairs. They go into the roof. It was a thatched mud roof. They began to cut a hole in the roof. They took the tiles off and they lowered their friend down. Remember this? It says they broke into the house. Do you think everybody in the room knew that someone was upstairs tearing a hole in the roof? You don't think so? If you were in this room and somebody started digging a hole in the roof, do you think you would know? How would you know? There'd be a noise. There'd be some debris. Right? And you'd quit thinking about me and you'd go like, huh, wonder what they're doing. Our campus watch team would be ready. Yeah, you would know. You say, well, what's the point? Does it sound like a quiet burglar when it says they break into the room? You see, in this particular point in time, you had two ways of breaking into a house. You could either dig a hole in the roof, removing the tile, or if it's a wood, or not wood, but a dirt floor, you had to dig under the wall. I don't know about you, but if a burglar's coming, you probably are going to know. Don't you think? Jesus says that it's like someone who owns a house and a burglar broke into it. The point that Jesus is making is his coming is not a surprise. Because he says, I'm coming like a burglar, like a thief in the night. But the context and the picture, the word picture he uses is, it's not a surprise. It's not like everybody in the room doesn't know that he's coming. So he says, even though you know, be watchful. Stay awake. Don't find yourself distracted and focusing on other things. Listen, be careful. No one knows when Jesus is going to come. Be mindful. Be attentive in your own life to the fact that one day Jesus is coming. As in the days of Noah. Be watchful. Stay awake. Make sure that you are ready. Make sure the attentiveness of your life is the fact that you share with everyone that he's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night. And everyone needs to know that one day Jesus is going to come. And then number four, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful in doing what the Lord has called you to do. Jesus contrasts a couple servants here. Look what he says in verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he'll set him over all his possessions. But the wicked servant says to himself, my master's delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards. The master's servant will come on a day when he doesn't expect it, and at the hour he does not come, and then there's going to be trouble. He says, indeed, be faithful. Be faithful. Don't be faithful in fulfilling your own desires, but be faithful in the obedience and being prepared for when Jesus Christ is going to come. And then Jesus tells two stories. He tells two parables to illustrate this particular point. So here's where we get to the parable. Look at Matthew 25. The first parable is the parable of the 10 virgins. And you're thinking, what? Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And they were going to buy. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Revelation talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. You say, well, there's five and five. You say, well, man, that's ten. Like, what's the significance? There's not. I think it's just because it's an even number. There's a very simple delineation. There was five and five. Don't overthink that particular aspect of the text. And here's the deal. I've heard this passage preached so many different ways, it's crazy. I've heard that the oil is the Holy Spirit in this text. I've heard that the oil is the grace of God. I've heard that the oil not only is the grace of God, but it's good works, and we need to make sure that our oil is ready for the good works of the Lord. I get all that, but I don't think that's the point of Jesus in this text, and here's why. Because you can't buy those things. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy His grace. You can't buy any of those things. So I don't think that's the context of what Jesus is saying in this particular point in time. You say, well, what in the world is He talking about? Remember context. The Bible says He's coming. The Bible says because He's coming, make sure that you're faithful. You have these five and five. Five are ready. They had the oil. Five weren't prepared. So what's the point? The point is, you can't transfer your relationship with the Lord to someone else. The five that had the oil said, we can't give you the oil. Because then we wouldn't have enough. You go buy your own. You go get your own. Listen. No one can force you or to transfer their relationship with Christ to you. But preacher, my grandmother was a great Sunday school teacher. Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. But Jesus, I mean, I was here every Sunday. Depart from me. I never knew you. We don't receive the Lord by osmosis. Here's what that means to me. My relationship with the Lord is more important than anything else that I do. If you're here today and you've not experienced faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not received the gift of salvation that comes through Him, the freedom of forgiveness that comes. Listen, that's the first step in being faithful. Trust Him. There's some of you here today, and your relationship with the Lord is out of automation rather than inspiration. You're doing what you've always done. And the step of faithfulness for you is simply this. Spend time with Him. Read the Word daily. Spend time in prayer with Him daily. Listening, not just talking. Gather to worship with God's people. Because I think there's some encouragement that comes from that. The Hebrew writer says, don't give up the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another while it's still called the day. Be faithful in your relationship with the Lord. I can't borrow Tony's relationship that he has with the Lord. I can't borrow Jeff's relationship that he has with the Lord. I can't borrow Greg's relationship that he has with the Lord. I have to be faithful in my relationship with the Lord. The second parable you've heard many times. It's called the parable of the talents. Listen to what he says. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, and he had received the five talents, went at once and traded them, and he made five talents more. So also the one who had two talents made two talents more, but he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master's servants came and settled accounts with them, and he who had received the five talents came forward and said, my goodness, well done, you have... Woo-hoo! Good job. The guy that had 2 talents, the master said, great job. The one that had 1 talent, he said, you lazy, good for nothing, scum buzzard dog servant. I gave you 1 talent, and you did nothing with it. You say, what in the world? Be faithful. That's the context, remember? Be faithful in your service to the Lord. Be faithful in your service to the Lord. Let's talk about talents for a moment. A denarius was equated to basically a day's wage. Minimum wage right now is what, $7.25? Yes, it is. So 1 talent equals 60 denarii. So if that's the case, let's do a little math. 1 talent equals, in our day and time, $3,480. 1 talent. So notice all the servants were given different amounts. 5 talents, $17,500. Woohoo! I want to be that guy. How about you? 2 talents, $6,960 in our day and time, based upon minimum wage. 1 talent, we talked about $3,480. Notice all the amounts are different. Here's the reminder to you and me. All gifts and abilities are different. All valued, but God gives to us as He sees fit. And we're all wired and given different talents. The point of the parable is not the amount given. The point of the parable is what we do with what we are given. Our faithfulness in stewarding what He's given to us. Am I faithfully serving in what He's given to me? Am I exercising and serving in the gifts and abilities He's given to me and allowing them to be used? Because the two that were given a lot went to work at once. They went serving at once. They invested, they poured into, doubled it. God encouraged them. And the one who didn't pulled back and didn't take a risk. And so what's the point? Be faithful in your serving the Lord. There are some of you here that that's not true of you. You're not faithful in your serving. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Because you're not serving. You're not. You're sitting. And you're soaking. And what Jesus says in this parable is, be faithful. Be faithful with what He's given to you. And allow God to use what He's given to you to invest in others. That's the point of the parable. Because one day, the Bible says He's going to settle an account. So let me ask you. How's your relationship with the Lord? Are you faithful in it? Are you spending time with Him daily? Are you growing and developing in your understanding of who He is and what He's working in you and through you? Have you come to a place where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you've never done that, I want to invite you today. Make today the day of your salvation. The Bible says the angels rejoice at one who repents. We'll rejoice too, by the way. But maybe you're here today and maybe you've been following Christ for some time and you've just not been faithful in your relationship with Him. I want to invite you to come and you just simply privately, personally, just kneel right here. You say, well, I don't need to do that. No, you don't. But I've discovered sometimes when I draw a line in the sand, it means I'm serious about what God's doing in me. We'd have some that come pray for you. How are you doing in your serving? Are you being faithful in your serving? Are you pulling back and not taking any risk at all? Maybe that's a step of response to you. Maybe God's calling you to make this your church. I'm going to invite you today as we have a time of invitation. as God leads you to respond. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Father, I thank you for every person that's here in this place today. And God, I pray for that man or woman, that young person that's never trusted you as their Savior. God, I pray they just confess their sin to you and they'd receive your incredible free gift. Father, I pray for others here today that just sense that you're just working and moving. Father, they're just struggling in the area of their faith. And God, I pray that you just remind them that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, that today we would just renew our commitment just to be faithful to you. God, we thank you that one day you're coming. And God, we cannot wait to be reunited with you. Whether you come or whether you call. So, Father, we thank you for this time of invitation in Christ's name.